morning. Much mercy, grace, and godly joy is yours in the name of the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our reading today, on the one hand, we have the disciples who are whining, "Master, send the crowds away. Send them to the villages so they can get themselves something to eat." But Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." God's empowering and challenging words for your heart today. Amen. One of the lessons that we can take away from how Christ deals with his disciples in a moment of thousands of hungry people is how Christ can take a little and turn it into a lot. When you are doing the work that Christ is blessing, there are great things that God can accomplish through you with those hands of faith. When you have put your heart and your mouth and your time and your willingness to be available for God, we can have things like a week of vacation Bible school that years ago used to be 40 or 50 some students, and this year we had over 100 students register and hear the gospel good news and joyfully celebrate Jesus as their mighty Savior. Now, part of faith in our journey as Christians is leaning beyond our own human logic that so often holds us back. It's trusting in God's extravagance to happen even in our ordinary lives. When we think God might not show up, He does. And as individuals, as Christians, as a congregation, what little we have given in faith is that first step that God uses to do incredible things. And He has a track record of doing that all the time. The kids learned that when some of God's people, His leaders and kings, would go up against an enemy, it wasn't their strength, it wasn't their strategy that won the day or the battle, but it was their trust in God, who from a position of weakness and very little, defeated very large enemies, the very large walls of Jericho, the enemies of Hezekiah, where God took care of them in one night, wiped them out. The king woke up and his problems were gone. And all he had to do was trust, like little David, and five smooth stones thrown at the giants in our life. When we trust in God, we can wrestle with the problems of the world and the valleys because we know the Good Shepherd who has overcome them. Now that trust doesn't come easy, does it? When you read what the disciples were saying, you have a suspicion they were all Lutherans. "Better send them away, Master, that they can buy themselves some food," they said. Let's be honest, Lutherans are by nature a cautious and modest people. We don't make decisions quickly, and when we do, we often feel that who we are and what we have isn't nearly enough to get the job done, to accomplish what we feel God leading us in our hearts. And some caution isn't bad in and of itself. Certainly that helps us from acting out recklessly or impulsively. Playing it safe, I guess, is just a Lutheran virtue. But if you do ministry always with that mindset, you often miss God's great surprise of His goodness, His glory, and His power in your life. And this doesn't apply only to ministry. It applies to every aspect of your life, your marriage, your purity, your commitment to your job and your family and country, that when you give that little in faith, God can do amazing things because you don't look at them as problems, you look at them as possibilities to step out with that little bit of courage. Like when my youth leader said, "Hey, Lisa Lipsdorf over there, you got to take her around campus one day when she goes up to Concordia, get to know her a little better." And God blessed me with an amazing family and a godly wife and children who seek after the heart of the Lord. And all it took was, in nervousness, "Hey, would you like me to show you around Ann Arbor campus?" God can do amazing things in our personal lives as He does in the work of the church. But failing to risk in that trust, you miss God's ability to do a lot with a little. And then in ministry, no one gets helped. If we keep holding ourselves back with that excuse, we don't have enough. No one will show up. The question driving you should not be what is safe, what is reasonable. That'll hold you back every time in all areas of your life. But who does God need me to be in this moment and in this place to these people? Whether that be my boss, my spouse, my children, my enemies, my strangers, my neighbors, who does God need you to be in those moments when He's asking you to trust in that mighty fortress and good shepherd that is Jesus? So as a congregation, as individuals, We can keep what we have and stay where we are, or we can take a chance that God is up to something, that He is, as He always has done, waiting to accomplish great things through our little bits of effort and trust. Stepping out in faith, admittedly, is risky business, and sometimes it creates more challenges than we might bargain for, but it's the heart of the gospel. That's what the disciples, who before they were disciples, did when they stepped off the boat and out of their careers and out of their families to go and follow the master rabbi who was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. They walked away from things that were anchors in their life, but they were willing to cut those ties and maybe even lose quite a bit, both in relationship or income, to be a servant following the King of Servants. Now, I'm sure the disciples thought when assessing the situation that Jesus was in over his head that day he decided to feed 5,000 men, including the over 5,000 plus men, women and children who were there with them. I imagine they looked at that thinking all he had to work with was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You can almost hear those Lutheran disciples saying, oh, the master's gone and done it again. He's in over his head. He's lost his marbles. He can't accomplish that. No way. No way. But you, as Jesus knows, you and I both know the official name of God isn't no way, it's Yahweh, yes way. Ours a God of yes, I am in you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world or the problems that you will face. Because if Christ can conquer sin, death, and the devil, as we proclaim that victory to our children all week, He can walk with you and be your giant slayer, your chain breaker, your salvation giver, and He can accomplish what He calls out in your heart to do. It seems like there's always, though, going to be people around us as Christians who say things can't be accomplished. It seems impossible. The wall's too big. The giant's too tall. He's got a bigger army. But did Jesus ask His disciples what they had to work with? No. Did He ask if any of them knew how to cook? No. Jesus understood that our God can take a lump of earth and change it into a living, breathing human being. That no task undertaken at God's command is impossible. And that trust, even from the Savior, was what made the difference. He can take old wretched sinners like you and I and pour out amazing grace and the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ and make us saints. So in Christ, nothing is impossible. Amen? Because if He can make us who are spiritually dead alive again through the death and resurrection of Jesus, then all things are possible in this life. For the sake of the gospel. So today Jesus took 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, and fed thousands of hungry people. And notice the detail that Matthew gives in his gospel. And all were satisfied. All were satisfied, it claims, and is the truth. Trust God with your life, and you'll always find that you're in the right hands. No matter what your fish or loaves may be, God is a God of miracles. He's a God who shows up. And He's so often looking for your trust and your availability to be a part of the surprise and miracle that He's looking to work through in someone else's life through you. Because remember, the miracles that Jesus did wasn't always about us getting something. Often it's about us learning a deeper relationship with the Savior, recognizing our sin and our need for His mercy and grace, and that often the miracle is through us for the benefit of someone else. And we get to witness it. Christ took on death. A death that seems so insignificant in the history of the world, but that one fish in Jesus' death given in faith forgave all the sins of all humanity. That one life, that one loaf of bread in Jesus' body and blood shed for us forgave all the sins of humanity and it multiplied God's grace through that one act of sacrifice. With what fish and bread has God given you that you are holding back and not using? What skills of time or love or patience or long-suffering or an open ear and an open heart has God given to you that you should allow Him to use, but you're not, because you look at it more as a problem than a possibility. Christians are always encouraged in their life to step out in faith. You hear the preacher say it, the Bible says it, the disciples were asked to do it, to step out in faith and realize that you're not alone. Because it's through a little bit of water, a little bread, a little wine, a little fellowship. God keeps us going. Amen? Amen? Through his word and his sacraments, he challenges us, he encourages us, and he comes alongside us. And on Good Friday, that cross didn't seem like much, and the one hanging on it didn't seem extraordinary, but through that one act of sacrifice, God found a way to claim us and love us just as who we are. That though we were sinners and enemies of God, through the blood of Jesus, he called us his own. He called us righteous and redeemed, loved with an undeserved merit of grace, and he keeps us going. We knew our debt of sin was huge, but that one death through Jesus paid it all. And that's what makes the difference every day. All things are possible in Christ. If we let him use us, you can see that God can supersize the little that we give in faith, because that's how God works. He takes our commitment, he takes our trust and obedience, he takes our weakness and the things that we feel are failings, and he turns them into seeds planted and a harvest that grows. And so like that little boy discovered, that young man, when he gave that little lunch in faith, Christ blessed his needs, and the Bible says it was complete with leftovers. When you trust in God, you will have baskets of leftovers, blessings to share, because God's love is overflowing and will never fail you. Right now in your lives, in your little baskets that God has given you, you already have a real hope, the living bread of Jesus Christ. Now you go and feed them. Amen? In Jesus' name, you are a blessed people. God's grace, mercy, and peace will sustain and keep you always in that true faith to life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and sing that last verse.